Hey guys, my name is Brad Livingston. I'm the lead pastor here at Transformation Church, and we are so excited to have you with us today. I pray that this message that you're about to watch encourages you. I hope that it restores hope to your life. I pray that as you watch it, God draws you closer to himself and that you get a clearer picture of not only who he wants to be in your life, but who he wants you to be. We have a vision here at Transformation Church that says that we exist to see people transform from who they are to who God wants them to be. And I know that this message is going to take you on a journey closer to that person that God has destined you and purposed you to be. For more information, you can go to transformationchurch.com or on your smartphone, you can go to mytc.life and you can find out all that we have for you here at TC. I know that God has a plan for you, and let's get into this message as we discover exactly what God wants to speak to you today. Hey guys, what's going on? We are so excited to have you with us and kicking off our brand new series actually today. And we wanted to go ahead and put it out there. You know, last week we made an announcement, July 12th was going to be our first Sunday in the building, barring no changes. And unfortunately, I'm here to tell you that there have been changes, okay? So we want to go ahead and put it on your radar. We won't be meeting in the new campus on July 12th. We'll be giving out some updates this week in regards to what's happening and how you can actually help us speed up that process a little bit. But it's a combination of COVID, which is happening in our city and our nation and is impacting so many people right now, but also the facility. And so we want to give you a glimpse in. So be looking out on Facebook and Instagram this week. We'll be bringing you some updates and what's going on here at TC. But we are excited that you're with us. And hey, listen, what is so great about the 21st century is though we can't be in the building together, we get to be the church together online. And so we're excited that you are with us. And so, man, we are kicking off our new series called Pause. How many guys know you go through different seasons where you got to just pause? And how many guys know sometimes you go through different seasons where life gets paused, right? And where we're at today, we're talking about pause. And I remember I watched this movie, maybe some of you have seen it before, called Inception. And I'll never forget that as I was watching Inception, I was watching this movie. Man, there was multiple times throughout the movie that I almost had to pause it because you had to wrap your mind around what was happening while you're watching it. And then at the end of the movie, for those of you that have seen it, you kind of like sit there at the movie theater or on your couch or wherever you watched it, and you just kind of had to process what was happening. And I don't know about you guys, but I certainly feel like and have felt like we've been in this season where life has gotten crazy, where things are going on, and here we are, man, we're needing to hit the pause button, but sometimes life hits the pause button. And so what I want to talk to you about today is what we're going to do over the next few weeks is we're actually going to look at the life of David. We're going to go to 1 Samuel and we're going to look at this life that David had. And as he lived it, man, we can see how God was oftentimes hitting the pause button. We can see how oftentimes there were moments in time where it seemed like time stood still for David and God was doing something. And that's what we want to talk about today, because today I want to talk to you about the destiny. Say the destiny. Let's say it one more time. Say the destiny. So I want to talk to you about the destiny, because in life, sometimes we just need a little pause to reflect. So most of us have heard about David, right? Most of us have heard about the giant killer. Most of us have heard about King David. Maybe you know David as a psalmist. You know that he wrote some of those. But the pause in David's life in the beginning was the pause of his destiny. See, how many of you believe that God has something great for your life? How many believe that God has something that he's wanting to do in your life, with your life, through your life, an impact he's wanting to make on others because of your life? Man, I believe that God wants to do that. And so what happens is the pause is the time frame between hearing what God says he's going to give you and the time that you receive it. The pause is what happens when you know God has promised you this, but then you got to wait this season before he brings this to you, right? So God promised you that you were going to live in abundance, but there's a season between where you're at and when you're going to get there. God promised you that you were going to have kids, but the doctors keep telling you it doesn't look like that's going to happen. God, you promised that this disease would be healed, but it doesn't look that way. God, you promised that my kids would come back to the Lord, but they're still wilding out and going buck wild out in the world. Things are going nuts. God, you promised. And what we're talking about today is the pause of the destiny between what God promises will come true for you and then the season where it does come through for you. And how many guys know that season can be frustrating? Because that pause is like, God, I know you said you're going to do it, but when are you going to do it? Well, that pause is what we're talking about. But what if I told you this? What if I told you that God uses the pause to prepare you for your promise? I want you to think about this for a second. What if I told you God uses the pause? God uses the in-between season to prepare you for the season where you get the promise. You see, God wants to, and God is going to come through for you in his season and in his time. But sometimes there's a pause because we're not prepared to receive the fulfillment of our promise. You see, sometimes it's not really us waiting on God to get things ready. It's God waiting on us to get things ready. And so we see that sometimes it's the pause that keeps you connected to God, because you have to learn what it looks like to trust God in the waiting and remain faithful in the blessing. In other words, sometimes it's your faithfulness in the waiting that proves that you're ready for the blessing. Sometimes it's your faithfulness when you feel like God's not coming through for you that is showing God that you're prepared for what he's going to bring into your life. Sometimes it's your faithfulness that gets you ready for your calling. And so God is bringing us there. So David's story takes up, and as we get ready to do that and read in 1 Samuel, I want you to understand this. Your destiny is concealed in your character. Your destiny is concealed in your character. But your character is proven in your perseverance. I want you to grab a hold of this. Listen, your destiny, what God wants to do in your life, what he's going to bring about in your life, what the fulfillment that he's bringing and has promised to you, everything that God is going to do, the destiny that he's bringing to you, it is concealed in your character. It is concealed in who God has declared that you are. It is concealed in how you're going to be obedient. It's concealed in how you're going to be faithful. It's concealed in how you're going to persevere. It's concealed in how you're going to be, how you're going to act, how you're going to behave, how you're going to trust, how you're going to lean on God in the midst of what's going on, in the midst of your pause. Your character conceals your destiny. And so many times we want God to give us something, but we're not ready to become the person that God needs us to become so that he can give it to us. But your character is proven in your perseverance. Your character is proven in your perseverance. And so we have to persevere. And so we prove to God that we're ready. We prove to God that, man, you can trust me with this. Why? Because we persevere. We maintain our character. Have you ever been so frustrated, so upset with something that you started to lose who you were and started to become an old version of you, a previous version of you? The version of you that existed before Jesus got a hold of you. But hear me today, your perseverance to say, no, I'm sticking with it. I'm going to maintain character. I'm going to maintain truth. Your character, your perseverance reveals to you that you're prepared for your destiny. And so in 1 Samuel 16:1, it says this, the Lord said to Samuel, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. This is the story of David. So Samuel is going, and the Lord said to Samuel, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Say king. So he has chosen one of his sons to be king. And the Lord said to Samuel, when they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab. Later on in the chapter, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. And so he comes to him, he says, man, I have rejected him, but the Lord doesn't see the things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So Samuel runs through all the sons. He looks at Eliab and says, man, this must be him, then it's not him. So Samuel just goes through all the sons, right? All of Jesse's sons. And so he gets to this point and he says, then Samuel asks, are these all the sons that you have? Right? In verse 11, it says this, are these all the sons that you have? And so there is still the youngest, Jesse replied, but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats. Send for him at once, Samuel said. And so Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord rested powerfully upon David from that day on. So what we see is David is coming. He's being anointed as king. right? But here's the first thing that I want you to grab a hold of as we look at this. Number one is that God is always active on your behalf, even when you don't see it. I want you to grab a hold of this right now. God is always active on your behalf, even when you don't see it. You see, sometimes we think and we can get lost in this time of like, man, I don't even know if God is working. I don't even know if God is doing what I need him to do. But I'm here to tell you today that God is active. He is working. He is making progress on your behalf, on the behind the scenes. He is working for you when you don't see it. And when we go back to 1 Samuel 16:1, the Lord said to Samuel, right? He says, fill your horn with oil and I want you to be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Now grab a hold of this for a second. He didn't say, when you get there, I'll figure it out. God didn't say, when you get there, I'm going to determine which son I want. He says, I've already chosen. And I want you to grab a hold of this for your life, that God has already chosen your destiny and the plan that he's rolling out for you. And just because you only get to see one page at a time doesn't mean that God hasn't already written the whole chapter and the whole book for you. And so many times in our life, we're like, God, I don't even know if you even have a plan. I don't even know what you're doing in my life. And I want you to understand this today. You may not know what God is doing, but God knows what he is doing. And so many times it can be frustrating because, man, we feel like, God, are you even working? Are you even listening? God's saying, not only am I listening, I've already got a whole plan prepared for you. But the thing is, we have to believe that God is working on our behalf, even when we can't see it. God had already chosen David to be king. He had already set the plan in motion. When he sent Samuel on a plan that was already pre-prepared, predestined, pre-established for David. He had already set it in the foundation. God has already chosen for you your destiny, even if you can't see the promise. And so when we're talking about God being active, there's a few things that I want you to see and walk on a journey with me to grab a hold of some truths about how God is active on your behalf. The first thing I want you to understand is that faithfulness and what seems insignificant qualifies you for the significant. Hear me for a second. Faithfulness and what seems insignificant qualifies you for the significant. See, so many times in life, we feel like the small things in life that we're doing don't matter. But when you go to 1 Samuel 16:11, it says this, then Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have? And Jesse replied, "But there's still the youngest, but he's out in the fields. He's watching the sheep and the goats." Now I want you to say sheep and goats. You see, all the other brothers were brought into the house, right? But David's out watching the sheep and the goats. You see, David's faithfulness to what people couldn't see prepared him for what people could see. Hold on, I want you to grab a hold of this. David's faithfulness for what people couldn't see prepared him for what people could see. So many times in life, we only think what people see matters. But I'm here to tell you what only God sees matters more. So many times in life, we think that what people see in us, what people see us doing on stage, what people see us doing when the lights are on, that's what matters. But I'm here to tell you, you don't get to that place until you're faithful in the place where God doesn't, where only God sees you and other people don't see you. See, our faithfulness to do that is what matters. And so how many of us are disqualifying ourselves from significant things in our life? How many of us are disqualifying ourselves from significant things because we're not being faithful with what we believe are insignificant things? You see, we're like, God, I don't even like this job. I can't believe God hasn't given me the new job, but all we do is complain about the one we do have. I can't believe that God hasn't given me that promotion, but I'm not grateful for where I'm at. I can't believe that God hasn't given me that new house, but I'm not grateful for the one that I have right now. I can't believe that God hasn't given me that raise, but I don't tithe now. I can't believe God hasn't given me that godly husband, even though I sleep with every other man that comes by. So why would God bring the godly one if I'm not even looking for how I'm going to be godly woman for the ones that I do come across? I can't believe God hasn't sent me a godly woman, but I haven't learned how to talk with respect to the women that are in my life already. I'm here to tell you that when you are faithful with what seems insignificant, God will give you the things that are significant. But so many times we want to wait for the grand things to treat them like great things. But God's saying, if you'll treat the small things like great things, I'll give you the grand things. See, our faithfulness in the insignificance is what proves that we are worthy of significance. See, we keep disqualifying ourselves from the promise And so we then give the enemy the credit for not giving us what we look for. See, here's what some of us do. We say, man, Satan done stole from me what I was going for. Satan has taken it away. He's just active in my life right now. I've seen some of your Facebook posts where like, man, the enemy is active right now. Sometimes it's the enemy and sometimes it's stupid choices that we make giving the enemy leeway in our life. Listen, sometimes we give him credit for what he did not earn in our life. Sometimes it's us giving the enemy power. It's not the enemy taking it from us. You see, the reality is he didn't steal it. You believe the lie or the lies in your life that is giving him the leeway where he don't even have to work to be active in what's going on in your life. Okay. So what happens is we start to believe other lies. Well, my mom said, I'm never going to be this, so I'll just never be that. My dad never gave me this or never taught me this, so I won't have that in my life, right? Some of you are saying, man, I can't have a destiny. I can't have a purpose. Maybe I had a baby in high school, or before I got married, I did this, or these things happened in my life. And I'm here to tell you that those things don't hinder the destiny or the plan that God has for you. I dropped out of college or I dropped out of high school. And I'm here to tell you today that those things don't have to be the hindrance for God's plan in your life. You see, maybe God wants you to keep tending the sheep until you're ready for the kingdom. Maybe God wants you to be faithful where you're at, because that faithfulness where you are will prove worthy of where he's taking you. But so many times in life, we want to complain about where we are, not realizing that our contentment with what God has given us today proves worthy for what he's going to give us tomorrow. And so God wants to take us on this journey. And I'm here to tell you today, I want some of you to grab a hold of this. God doesn't need anybody's permission in your life to give you the blessing and calling he has for you. I want some of you to grab a hold of this today. God doesn't need anybody's permission to call you to greatness. He doesn't need your family's permission. He doesn't need your teacher's permission. He doesn't need that person that told you you'll never be anything's permission. He doesn't need anybody's permission to call you to greatness. The destiny that God has put inside of you goes above man's words and people's words and what they said you won't be. God has declared who you are. You are the head and not the tail. You are blessed. You have high favor. God has established in you the purpose. Before he laid the foundation of the world, he knew the number of hair that would be on your head, and he has spoken purpose and life into you, and you don't need anybody else's permission. You don't need anybody else's words of affirmation. You don't need anybody else to speak life into that. God has spoken life into you, and that's all you will ever need. So don't let other people rob you from the purpose and the destiny that God is bringing to you. But hear me at the same time, don't think that the pause that God has hit on your life is him saying no to everything he showed you he's going to give you. Because sometimes you got to hit the pause button. And know that just because he hit pause today doesn't mean he's not going to hit play tomorrow. In the right time, God will bring, but you got to prove that you are faithful with what seems insignificant so that he'll be faithful with what is significant. You see, God isn't looking for the qualified. He's looking to make the disqualified qualified. You see, God isn't looking for the qualified. God isn't looking for the people that got it all together. God isn't looking for the people that have all the right things in motion. God isn't looking for the people that the world says are worthy. God isn't looking for people that your parents or your grandparents or your aunt and uncle or the teachers that you had in high school or college. He's not looking for all those people. He's not necessarily looking for the straight A students, even though there's nothing wrong with y'all straight A students. They're just not part of my club. Okay. So he may not look for what the world says is right. He's looking for who he says is right. He's not looking for the qualified. He's looking to make the disqualified qualified. You see, God is faithful in taking the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the Bible says. And so God is coming on the scene. And I remember I worked in retail for quite a while. And as I would work on retail, one of the things that we did is we worked overnights and we would build these humongous displays, especially around holidays. If you've ever been into some of the stores around here and you've seen these huge displays, 15 feet tall and 30 feet wide of different things according to different holidays. And so maybe around Thanksgiving, there'd be this huge display of like turkey fryers, right? And their boxes are stacked up and all that stuff. Or maybe there's a display that you're like, man, where did this even come from? They weren't there yesterday, and then you show up and the next day all of a sudden they're there. And there were even some that would take us a week to put together. I mean, we would just work on it and work on it. We would build it and we would build it and we would build it. But here's what I want you to grab a hold of. You see, All the building happened in the warehouse. You see, everything, as we were putting together the display, as we were mapping out what it was going to look like, we did that behind the wall where no one could see it. And then all of a sudden, when the time was right, we would, in the overnight, when the lights were off, when no one else was watching, we'd wheel those displays out and we would set them out. And people would walk in and go, wow, where did that come from? Like, look at this huge display. And people thought that it just happened overnight. But I'm here to tell you, there were multiple days, multiple hours where people weren't watching, where people couldn't see that we were building something. And then all at one time, we brought it out and people went, wow, where did that come from? And I'm here to tell you today that there are times in your life where God is doing something behind the wall, where he was doing something in the warehouse. He's building you when other people can't see you. And all of a sudden, he's going to bring you out in front of the world and people are going to go, wow, where did that come from? Who is that person? Because they weren't that way yesterday. They weren't that way last week. They weren't that way last month, but God has done something different. There's something different about them. And they're going to think that something changed in you overnight, but I'm here to tell you that it's in those days and nights where the lights are low, where the tears are flowing, where you feel like you are all by yourself on your bed and nobody else is around you, where you feel like no one can see what God is doing in the times you're spending with the Lord in the presence, and he's changing you, and he's changing you, and he's changing. He's building your character. He's building your influence. He's making you distinguished. He's making you a person of God. He's making you a person of presence. He's giving you the anointing. He's doing all those things where nobody else can see. And all at one time, he wheels your life out in front of people and says, this is the new person that I put in front of everybody. And I'm here to tell you today, don't let the things happening behind the wall make you think that it's never going to happen in front of the crowd. Because the life that God is building in you, he's going to put on display. But don't let what happens behind the wall, don't let what happens behind the curtain stop you from thinking that God's not going to put you on display for the world to see, not what you're capable of, but what his power is capable of in you. You see, God is always setting himself up to get the glory out of our lives. But I want you to grab a hold of something. God builds behind the scenes. God builds behind the scenes. And some of you are wanting God to build you in front of the crowd. But God doesn't build you in front of the crowd. He builds you behind the wall and then takes the finished project and puts you in front of the crowd. You see, Pastor Justin and I both have a saying, right? It's called, don't change the oil on the showroom floor. In other words, you don't take what is meant for people to see and keep breaking it and tearing it apart. Then you get it ready when no one's watching and then you bring it out. I'm here to tell you today that some of you, God is getting you ready while no one can see you. And you just wish people could see you. You wish people could see your progress. You wish your parents would believe in the change that's happening in you. You wish your teacher or your principal or whoever has told you you'll never be nothing. You wish that they would see what is going on in you. And God's saying, I know you want to be seen right now. I know you want people to believe in what's happening right now. I know you want people to see that there's change in you right now. But I'm taking you all the way to the end. And once you get there, then I'm going to release everyone to see exactly what I've made you to become. You see, God is faithful to bring those things about. God builds behind the scenes. But can y'all see David in the 21st century? I want you to think about this for a second. David's out in the fields with the sheep and the goats. Could you see David in the 21st century, right? Taking selfies, like, I am so bored, right? Posting like moody black and whites to his Instagram story with a Taylor Swift quote. Like, you could see him coming up filming some TikTok dance in the middle of the field while the sheep are running through the hole in the fence. He's over here like trying to like, I don't, whatever these kids do these days. I'm not on the TikTok dances. But like, couldn't you see David in the 21st century? Here's the thing that we have to realize about the time frame that God has us on this earth. We are so capable of being distracted that we're not usually good at being qualified for something great. You see, we have so many outlets that we can let people see what we're doing that even when we're talking about what we don't like, we're putting it out there for the world to see. I could see David right now, 21st century, taking selfies, posting Instagram stories, coming up with TikTok dances, right? But not being faithful to the thing God called him to. And I'm here to tell you today, I'm not telling you shouldn't be posting on Instagram. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you can't do TikTok dances. I'm saying don't allow yourself to be consumed with what's happening around you and complaining about what you don't like, that you miss what it means to be faithful. Even when you feel like God hit the pause button on your life, what it looks like to be faithful. You see, if we were David, many of us would never have gotten to the promise because we don't know what to do with the pause. You see, because even as David gets anointed, then he goes back to the field. In Psalm 23:1-6, we see that David actually writes this, and the pause is where God forces us to lie down. The pause is where everything in us wants to go, 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 but God says, whoa, whoa, whoa. God, the pause is where we say, God, I'm ready to get moving. I'm ready to go. And he's saying, I want you to sit down and stay a while. And in Psalm 23, this is what we see. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Now check this out. I want you to see this because we're talking about pause, right? It said, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down. Listen, how many of you know in your life you can lie down or you can be made to lie down? Because sometimes God hits the pause button on your life even if you're not ready for it. He says, I want you to lie down for a while. You need to stay here. I know you're ready to be over there, but you need to stay here. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. In other words, he's saying, you're going to come next to these still waters. And if you don't know what still waters means right there, is that what would happen is the shepherd would bring the sheep or the goats or the animal that they needed to get water. But the water was rushing so fast that they couldn't partake of the water. They couldn't drink it because the water's rushing, right? And so hear me for a second. What the shepherd would do is he would take these rocks and he would build a cleft out into the river. He would build a wall of rocks out into the rushing waters. And what that wall would do would stop the rushing water so that the water on this side of the wall was peaceful and still and they could drink of it. And hear me for a second. For some of you, the waters of life are rushing fast. They're flowing, they're moving, and you want to be part of what's moving. And God's saying, no. For you to partake in what I have for you, you got to be in the still waters, not the rushing waters. I know you want to move. I know you want to go. I know you want to move fast. I know you want to be part of what culture is doing and you want to go from this place to that place to that place to that place. You want the promise. You want the fulfillment. You want everything that I have for you. But I'm here to tell you today that there are seasons where God is going to build a cliff out into the water so that you have to sit still. God said, I want you to stay a while. I know you see the water flowing fast and you want to jump in that, but right now you need to be with the still waters. And we'll get the time for you to be part of the fast waters, but I want you to be still and stay a while. It says, he leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. Hear me today. For some of you, you don't need another promotion. You need more of the presence. He refreshes my soul. There is nothing in this world you will obtain that will refresh you. God alone refreshes you. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Even in the midst of your pause, God is with you. Even when you feel like he's left you, God is with you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hear me, it doesn't matter what people are saying about you. It doesn't matter what life has thrown at you, the bad decisions you have made in the past. Even in the presence of your enemies, God can make a table for you to sit at. He says, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I want you to see what they're saying in Psalms right here. I want you to see what David is writing right here. He's saying all the things that God will do. He will make me lie down in green pastures. He will lead me beside still waters. He will comfort me. He will do all of these things. And as he names off, he will follow me. He will anoint my head. He will comfort me. He will lie with me. He will give me peaceful waters. He lists all the things that God is going to do. And then at the end, he says what he's going to do. And because of that, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, you can remain faithful because God has proven to you that he's faithful. And I want you to grab a hold of this. There's so many times in your life that the pause has caused you to believe that God is not for you, God is not with you, I'm here to tell you today, it's all those seasons that God is showing his faithfulness to you so that you can show God your faithfulness to him. Whatever season you're in right now, God is saying, I've proven and I will continue to prove I'm faithful to you. Will you prove and continue to prove that you are faithful to me? And your faithfulness unlocks the door for the blessing. Now, the blessing could be financial blessing, but I'm also here to tell you it could also be the presence blessing. It can be the joy blessing. It could be the peace blessing. It can be the life of abundance in regards to joy and happiness. It could be, I'm talking about whatever God wants to bring you, but at the end of the day, God's faithfulness in your life is abundant. You see, the greatest trap of the pause is that we feel abandoned. The reality is, that's our greatest opportunity to get close to God. It's then that he is leading and guiding and refreshing. But even in the pause, God wants us to dwell there. Now, there's this beauty that I want you to see today, because David is not your measuring stick of success. Here's the thing I want you to grab a hold of. When we read the story of David, the temptation is to say, oh my gosh, like, man, I need to become more like David. I'm here to tell you today, you don't need to become more like David. You need to become the one that David is here to represent. You see, David is not what we look at and go, Lord, make me like that. As we learn in the next few weeks, right? David has some issues. If you know the story, your boy's got some issues. We're going to look at that here in the next few weeks. But David is supposed to show us what it looks like to be Christ-like. Because Jesus is the better David. You want to know who shows us what it looks like to have character even in the midst of the pause? Jesus. In Hebrews 4:15, it says this. He says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. You want to know what it looks like to have character in the midst of the pause? Go to Jesus. You want to know what it looks like to be faithful even when you don't know what's going on? Go to Jesus, where he sat in the garden before he was going to be crucified and he sweat blood. He was praying so hard, saying, God, if you could do anything, let this pass from me. But at the end of the day, not my will, but yours be done. I'm going to tell you today that the faithful person we look to say, man, I need to be like that, it's Jesus. And so we look to him to lead us. And reading the story of David shouldn't make us try to be like David. It should make us try to be like the one that David is here to represent. Hear me today. Jesus is the better David. Jesus came on the scene and he went through the pause too. We're saying, God, I don't want to go through this. And God's saying, yeah, but I need you to sit here for a while. So much so that he went to the cross. And the beauty here is that as he went to the cross, he died there. He gave his life for us. And as he gave his life for us, he gave us the chance to a new life. Not a better life, a new life. Not an improved version of our jacked up situation, a new life. And as Jesus comes on the scene, he comes to make everything new. And today, my prayer is that one, those of you watching today would realize that wherever you're at in life today, you may feel like God has hit the pause button, but even though he hit the pause button today, he could hit the play button tomorrow. And your faithfulness in the now proves what you're worthy of in the later. So be faithful in the now. You may have to go back to the sheep and the goats, but be faithful in the now. You may feel like you're walking into a situation just like David. Could you imagine David's walking in, sees all of his brothers in the room? It's like, oh yeah, they definitely forgot about me. Guess what? It doesn't matter. Be faithful in the now. Because God will bring you up in the right time. He'll bring you out from behind the scenes and show the world what he's capable of with a life that's ready for him. But maybe you're watching today and you don't know Jesus. I'm here to tell you today that he's ready to meet you right where you're at. Today, if you want a clean slate, you want a new beginning, you want Jesus to give you a fresh start, today it's possible. And the Bible says that if we want to have a new, we want to have our sins washed away, we want a new life in Jesus, that we would repent of our sins, which means to turn away, never to go back, but then we would put our faith in Jesus. And today, if you want to put your faith in him, today, if you want a clean slate, you want a new beginning, you want God to give you a brand new life, I'm here to tell you that Jesus died for those sins, and you can put your faith in him today. And if that's you, I just want to invite you to repeat this prayer after me. And this prayer doesn't make you saved. This prayer puts words to the actions of your heart that says, Jesus, I'm believing in you and I'm giving you my life. I believe that you died for me. I believe you paid for my sins. And so let's pray this prayer together. You can repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me my sins. Forgive me my wrongs. Make me clean. Make me pure. Make me whole. I believe that you died on the cross. And I believe that you paid for my sins. So I give you my life. Make me brand new. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.